All right.
Four.
3, 2, 1, action. Yeah, so the eclipse that happened here, like I was saying, you know, it was just a partial eclipse where we had like a crescent of the sun that was visible. And in parts of Greenland and in Canada, there was a ring of fire. But that's the ring of fire, that annular eclipse, is actually distinct from the total eclipse that happened in 2017. There's going to be another total eclipse that happens in 2024, but that's actually going to pass right over Richmond, where Earlham is. Mm. So we're all looking very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So just briefly, I thought I would like talk about like what the difference between those two different types of eclipses,
please.
The annular versus the total eclipse. So I brought props.
Nice.
I brought the sun here. This is a, I guess an Icelandic pumpkin. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe this is a tomato. So this is the sun. Here's the moon. And you're the earth in this demonstration.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
So here's the sun. And if I put this thing like right up against your eyeball, right,
yeah.
then like you can't
now
see
I
the
can
sun.
See anything.
Right. So, but if it's at just the right distance, then it will just block out the sun. Even though the sun's bigger, like this is closer, right? So things get closer, they get bigger. At least in their apparent size. But if I move this a little bit further away, then you can actually see a whole ring of orange around this red tomato. And so that's what's happening during the annular eclipse, is that the moon is a little bit further away, so you're actually able to see this whole ring of fire. When you have a total eclipse, the moon is able to block out all of the surface of the sun, what we refer to as the photosphere, and then you can only see the atmosphere of the sun, which is the corona. That's that long, wispy stuff. And you see a little bit of the pink stuff, which is the chromosphere. And that's what happens. That's the moment when you can actually take your glasses off and you can sort of gaze in awe at totality. Exactly. You know, I mean, a lot of people, I think, find the moment of totality in particular to be a like awe-inspiring event in like the most true sense of the word. There are, I think, plenty of people who would not consider themselves to be spiritual in almost any sense, but like really find this like deep connection to nature. And there are a lot of people out there who are eclipse chasers. Like once they've seen like one total eclipse, they literally start traveling all around the world to find them. And they, people go, you know, there's an eclipse coming up later this year in Antarctica, and like people are traveling down there to see it.
Wow.
Which is
really?
I mean, yeah. It's actually a very rare total eclipse that's going to happen in Antarctica. Because the eclipse is going to happen in the opposite direction. So this is something for you to...
That's so exciting,
this is a thing,
actually.
This is a thing for you to look up at home. This is a homework. Okay, so normally when you see pictures of the eclipse, what happens is... Let's see, I'll do it from your perspective.
Okay.
So like if this is the sun, and then like we'll say that this filter is the moon, like it starts to cover up the sun from this direction, and then it goes across like this, and then it comes out on the left-hand side. But in Antarctica this winter... there's going to be an eclipse that happens in the opposite direction.
Oh.
And so homework for you at home to try to figure out why that happens.
Yeah, I've never heard this one before.
Yes, that's
right.
So write in the comments below like why you think that eclipse will happen. If you have money, you know, feel free to go to Antarctica. You know, you can pay for me to go down there.
Apply for a grant.
That's
right.
Yeah, apply for a grant. Maybe National Geographic will pay for
that. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of, you know, exciting stories. And
it's,
for such a simple thing, I mean, an eclipse is just like the moon got in the way of the sun. Like if you say it like that, it sounds like it's boring, but all sorts of stuff happens, you know. There's a lot of different like weird phenomena.
Yeah, and besides from like the science behind it, you also told me about the story where you saw horses.
Oh yes.
Tell us about that.
This is a good story. So what in 2017, my first year at Earlham, I organized this trip to go down to Kentucky. We were in the path of totality. We met these nice farmers. They let us set up in their side yard.
So nice.
And so we were a whole bunch of, you know, of students and faculty and staff, and we were there, and they made us lemonade, and then we, you know, waited there for the good, you know, 2.5 hours that it takes for the whole eclipse to happen. And during the moment of totality, the sky gets really dark. You can see planets, you can see stars right in the middle of day, and one of the phenomena is that you actually get a phenomenon. One of the phenomena is that you get a sunset that goes all the way around 360 degrees of the horizon. Any direction that you look, it looks like a sunset. And so at that moment, animals get particularly confused. Birds start to sing their songs that they would sing like at twilight or at dawn. And the example that you're talking about, what I was saying earlier, is that we saw these horses and they were out grazing in the field, and then totality came, and then they all started walking back to the barn. They said, well, I guess it's sunset. And so, yeah, it was a fun story remember, like, because we're sitting there, like, I'm watching the moon, I'm like, you know, in this, the sky, and, I'm like, oh, look, there's Venus, there's Mercury,
yeah.
And then somebody says, there go the horses, they're, like, going back to the barn. So
did they come back out?
You know, I don't even remember. They might have been, like, sometimes animals definitely get confused, and they're like, I guess I'm here
just
now.
Stay confused.
Right,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So
it makes
funny.
Sense, right? People,
yeah.
I think a lot of people would be confused during an eclipse.
That's
yeah.
If you hadn't known. Yeah, and people have been confused in the past, in
right.
history, right?
Yeah, yeah. This was
yeah.
the other thing we were talking about. Yeah, my favorite story about, sort of from history, about eclipses is about this battle that happened in ancient Mesopotamia. There was a... battle between, I believe it was the Medians and the Assyrians, although we should look that up.
Yeah, we can link the...
right, well, we're not historians, we're astronomers. But this battle was taking place, and these two armies, you know, this is long before the Common Era. These pagan armies, they're very much inspired by omens from the natural world, and like, if you're a sun worshiper, if that's like your main god, is somebody that's associated with the sun,
yeah.
and the sun goes away in the middle of a battle
yeah,
that you're
like
fighting.
Crazy symbolic.
Exactly, yeah. And so these two armies stopped fighting and they went home for the day. You know, I mean, I think that we probably could do with like a few more total solar eclipses during some battles. We might
true.
Have like a little bit less violence, but yeah, the it's
yeah,
a cool story.
Presidential election, I don't know.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I thought that was a really neat story though.
Yeah,
and
I really like
you know, and
story.
At the time they don't like these people don't know what's going on. They don't have any sort of prediction from all of the very precise websites, you know, that are displaying information from simulations that people have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time you're just like there trying to
yeah.
like stab somebody or trying to avoid getting stabbed,
right?
And so then you,
yeah.
and you think, okay, the sun's gone, you know, maybe the gods don't want us to do this today.
Right.
Yeah.
And tell me about the story that happened around like 1900s that you were telling me
yeah.
earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
So my second favorite story, so I have two favorite stories about eclipses. My second favorite one is about the confirmation of the general theory of relativity. And that's like particularly dear to me because my research is into black holes, which are predicted by Einstein's general theory. And so Einstein, famously this German scientist, he makes this prediction in 1915 that this Newton's theory of gravity needs to be tweaked a little bit. And the general theory of relativity predicts that light will be bent by massive objects. So here we'll, let's see, I'm going to need... you to be a, you're going to need to be a star for me. Okay, so I'm going to bring my sun back up. Okay, so here's the sun, and Yuzhong's going to be our star, and I'm going to use a potato to represent the Earth. Okay, so the idea is that the Earth goes around the sun as viewed from the top in a counterclockwise manner, and so here's the Earth, and so here I am standing on the Earth, and you're shooting out starlight, and I see you, like, boom, exactly. And then 6 months later, here I am, And Einstein's theory predicts that the light that comes from you is going to go past the sun and it'll bend and go like this way. Or a light that comes from this side would bend and go that way. Because massive objects, they pull light toward them. So if I were sitting here 6 months later, your starlight would go past the sun and it would bend. And then I would see it and I would view that light as having come from over here. And so there's a very precise prediction that's made by Einstein's theory, and in order to see where the star is, you can only see that during a total eclipse, because, like, normally you don't see stars in the sky during the daytime, right, because the sun's really bright. So the moon moved in front, and they were able to make this measurement. The reason why I like this story, though, is more than just, like, the fact that this measurement was made. It's about the context in which
mm-hmm.
it was made. So, as I said, Einstein, German physicist, he makes this prediction, and then... And shortly afterward, you know, we go into World War I, and Germany is at war with most of the rest of Europe, including the United Kingdom. So not 4 or 5 years later, 1919, Arthur Eddington, he's a British scientist, he leads this expedition to this island off the coast of Africa where they make this measurement of the bending of starlight.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it winds up being correct. There's big headlines in the Times of London, Newtonian laws overthrown, Einstein laws rule the world. Yeah, it's a very exciting moment for the history of science, and it's a moment that transcends this conflict that had existed between these two nations. I think
yeah.
there's like a beautiful symbolism there, and it's a nice story about how the natural world, the natural universe, can transcend these cultural and political boundaries that exist
yeah,
between
definitely.
People.
And I think we experienced like a minor form of that here at the
mm-hmm.
Research Center, where there are so many people from, you know, different countries, mm-hmm. but we're here together to, you know, do research on, like, archaeology or, like, the bird colonies, like, in Skellefteå together. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were just all, like, watching the eclipse together.
Right.
Yeah, with other people from different parts of the world.
I mean, I love eclipses, I mean, for lots of reasons, but one of the things that's really great about them is that they happen at a time and they happen at a place. And you have to say, if you want to see this, you have to be here, you have to be here now, right? And, you know, some of the stuff, like the research that I do, like I do simulations on computers, it's like, oh, I can do it later, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it yesterday, whatever, right? But, like, there are things about observations, right, that is a good trick. There are things about observations about the natural world that you can only do at certain points, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is sort of, you sort of get this in field biology and stuff, yeah. where you're like, oh, I've got to show up at this time, you know, the salamanders are emerging or whatever. yeah. And so for astronomy, like, eclipses are really, like, they're like a quintessential example, because you're like we know this is going to happen at this point, and you get to call your friends around, you'd be like, everybody look up at the sky now, stop what you're doing, you know, you can watch TV later.
Yeah,
so
it's really nice. Yeah, thanks so much for the stories, mm-hmm. and your very, very nice explanation of the science behind solar eclipses. Yeah, I love learning from that, and yeah, so I hope you guys also enjoyed hearing us speak about solar eclipse, and let us know in the comments if you also watched it together, and I don't know if you took any cool pictures.
Excellent. Yeah, and I look forward to, like, seeing, you're going to be doing interviews with other people
in our group. Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing those.
Sounds good.
Everybody here is doing exciting stuff.
Stay tuned for more interviews with other professors.
More is coming.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye.
Good night. Okay.
Oh my God.
Please let me know.
Please, did it work?
No, what's wrong with it? Why does it happen?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sure some of it got recorded, right?
It must have. It's driving me crazy. Okay. We'll see if it's 10 minutes. Oh wait, cancel. What? 5 minutes? What is going on? This is so annoying. Okay, how close are we?
We met these nice farmers. They let us.
Oh my God!
So nice. Yeah, and so we were a whole bunch of, you know, of students and faculty and staff, and we were there, and they made us sell lemonade, and then we, you know, waited there for the good, you know, 2.5 hours that it takes for the whole eclipse to happen. And during the moment of totality.
Wow.
When animals get particularly confused.
We can do it tomorrow.
No, it's fine. I don't know. I just don't know what to do. I don't understand why it's doing this.
Yeah, let's put this light right here. I should have done this, like, in the previous.
Yeah. Why is it doing this? Okay, well, do you want to record with your camera instead? Will that be hard to mix up together?
No, it won't be hard.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, maybe that'd be easier. Because it seems like mine is fucking up. So annoying. Do you want to do it?
I hope there's enough storage. Let's see.
I just don't know why. Maybe it's a setting that I have, but there's not, like, a normal amount of time.
Yeah, that's really strange.
Format, slow-mo, preserve, cringe, mirror, front scene detection.
Look, they're dead living creatures. Do you see?
It's gross.
Really gross, actually. Oh my God.
I can't believe that was... Like, it has to work this time, right?
We can drink, like, hot chocolate after this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like hot chocolate.
I do. I want something. Anyway.
We'll have to reward ourselves with some form. Yeah. That was so strange! Oh my God, I can't believe we have to repeat this.
Alright, we're almost there. We're getting close.
Where did we stop?
I was telling the story about the animals.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, that can't be. Because animals before interesting stories in human history. So... I guess I went through the... Okay. I can be quicker.
Still set your phone here so like just.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah,
like,
sure.
It doesn't happen.
That's fine. That's fine. So we'll do this, with this, and then we'll know.
Yeah. We have to start doing video though, so it won't go off.
It's okay.
Well, I don't want the.
Oh, I see. All right, we'll see. Like.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, that's wild. I can't take a video of that, right? That's actually pretty cool.
Infinite.